Ghost today. Praise the Lord. Mom. Hallelujah. Shoho soho toye kasahataya. Ye latiko so ma baba basataya ke shoho soho toya. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have filled this place today with your presence. That you have come to do only what you can do, Lord. Fill us again with your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Remind us again today, Lord, of your faithfulness. Of your goodness and of your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word that we're about to receive this morning, Lord. Thank you that you give us ears to hear. Our spiritual eyes to see anew this morning something we may not have seen before. Your word says to taste and see that you are good, and you are a good, good Father. In all things, all times, all situations, all circumstances, whether we're going in, coming out, in the middle, you're still good. You uphold us with your strong right arm, and you never let us go. Thank you for that today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to be reading the entire chapter of John 11 again this morning, and we're going to be, after we read this, we're going to be reviewing some from the first message, and I'll be adding some things to it as we go along, and then we're going to finish it up today. Amen? So today we're going back to John chapter 11. Message Bible I'll be reading from. And like I said, I'll be adding some things with when what was said the last time we was here. There was a lot of things going on that Sunday, so most of you all weren't here. So if you didn't listen over the internet, then it'll help to review since it's been a couple of Sundays since we heard the first message. So anytime you preach the word, you preach the same sermon, it's always going to come out different with a new insight. That's just the way the word is. It grows as we are more and more enlightened to it. Amen. John chapter 11 this morning. Hey, ho, ho, ho. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils, wiped them with her hair, and it was her brother who was sick, Lazarus. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so very much." And remember that. Jesus heard the word that Lazarus was sick. When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal," or "This sickness is not unto death. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying his son." When Jesus got this word, this message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal." So let's go on here. Jesus loved, the anointing is so strong right now, I can't hardly stand up. Phew. Hallelujah. I'd be like pastor, I'll start talking and y'all won't be able to keep up. hallelujah. So Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed on where he was two more days. And after the 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And they said, Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you. You're going back. Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble, because there's plenty of light from the sun. And walking at night, he might stumble because he can't see where he's going. And he said these things and then announced, well, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up. The disciples said, Master, if he's asleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine. Jesus was talking about death while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Jesus said, Lazarus died. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Woo! Now let's go to him. Ha! That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, come along, we might as well die with him. Jesus finally got there. He found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him, and Mary remained in the house. Martha said, Master, or Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give it to you. Jesus said, your brother will be raised again. Martha replied, I know that he'll be raised in the resurrection at the end of time. You don't have to wait for the end. Jesus said, I'm here, I'm right now. I am right now. I am right now. Resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Now, you're living now, and you're going to die ultimately someday. But there's a living to be done now. Amen? So after saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered, the teacher is here and is asking for you. The moment she heard this, she jumped up, ran to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting, fell at his feet, said, Master, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him and said, where did you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Jesus wept. The Jews said, look how deeply he loved him. Others among them said, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Jesus, the anger again welling up with him, arrived at the tomb with a simple cave in the hillside, a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. One word from God can change everything. Amen. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been 4 days dead 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye and said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And to the others, he said, go ahead and take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you've listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I have spoken so they might believe that you sent me. He shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead was brought forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with the napkins. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. That was a turnaround. That was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did, and they did believe. See, your dream coming forth isn't just about you. And the moment that we quit thinking it's about us, it's going to cause a whole lot of things to turn around for a whole lot of other people. Amen. So here we start out with opens with Jesus receiving a word from two sisters that their brother was dead. And they knew Jesus loved Lazarus, and they knew that if they could get to Jesus to get to Lazarus, things would be changed. So the sisters had sent him a word, please come. But Jesus responded instead of just dropping everything and running off after them and trying to do something at that moment, because there's always a perfect timing in God. And that's where we get impatient at, amen? So he responded, but said, well, this sickness is not fatal. This sickness is not unto death. It will be an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying His Son. Amen. So when you come against that, you're in the smack dab middle of something. Say, this is just to show forth an occasion for the glory of God, that He may be glorified in whatever that we've come through. Amen. And so fatal means causing death. It means destructive. It means failure. It means ruin. But Jesus spoke what He saw in the Spirit. He didn't see death. He saw life. And you may say, well, he did die. We ain't got the end of the story yet. Amen. Jesus is still writing the story of your life, and He hasn't got to the end of it yet because you're still here and you're still breathing. Amen. So He was able to speak by faith, believing this is how it's going to turn out. And that's how we are to speak. You know, we are to speak how the situation, the Word says that it's going to turn out. Amen. So this report that had reached the ears of Jesus, the fact was that Lazarus was sick. He hadn't died yet, but he was sick. This was the fact that was given to Jesus. And so we now have the facts of what are we going to do with the fact? We're going to take this right here, which is the truth. Hey, come on, somebody. We're going to take, well, this is what the report says. This is what they are saying. This is what I've heard on the news. But that's not what the Word says. That's not the truth of the situation. Amen. The truth of the situation is what's between the pages of this book. And no matter if you're in the smack dab middle of something, that's what you rely on. You rely on the report of the Lord, the report of the Word. So Jesus began to speak at that moment what He knew the truth to be. This will be an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying His Son. And some things, there are things in our life that just have to die, church, in order to be resurrected again. And the moment that we can get over ourselves, the quicker it'll be risen again. Because we are our biggest problem. Amen. So that when we have the truth, that which is what the Word declares. So if you find yourself in that season today of life, begin to speak to the situation as Jesus did. So now Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The disciples began with Jesus all this time, had been with Jesus all this time, had seen miracle after miracle. They'd seen the blind eyes open. They'd seen the water turn into wine. They even saw the dead raised. But it was just the moment they had died. They'd never seen anyone that had been dead 4 days, been raised. Amen. That was a different situation. But you know, Jesus said, I'm going to give you new grounds for believing. You may look at something and you may think, well, I've never been here before. You may not have, but now you've got a new opportunity to believe. You've got a new opportunity to show forth the glory of God in a situation that you thought was impossible. So the disciples were about to have new grounds for believing. They were about to see the power of God in a new way they'd not seen before. Amen, amen, church. Jesus was about to do something that would give the disciples an opportunity to expand their capacity to believe. So when you're right in the middle of that situation, looks like I've been given an opportunity here. Not only that God's glory is going to be showed forth, but my capacity, that inner strength, that spirit within me is growing to believe God can do the impossible. If we never went through anything, how will we know that God's a healing God? I know we've got the Word, but when you experience it for yourself, it takes on a whole new perspective. Amen. So this should remind us that no matter what level we are on presently, in our faith walk, there is still more room to grow. Never think that you've arrived at a place that you can't learn more. Amen. Always have a teachable spirit that says, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I can learn. Amen. Because Isaiah 55:9 says, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. But God wants us to get to that place. Amen. And that's how we grow and learn in the circumstances of life. Every situation that we go through. So after hearing the news of Lazarus was sick, his sisters asked Jesus to please come. You would think he would pack up since he loved Lazarus. He'd been with them, but oh no, he decided to stay 2 more days. 2 more days. You would think his response would be, we've got to get to our friend. He's sick. We've got to get to him to see what we can do, to see how we can make it work out. And sometimes our prayers are immediately manifested into reality. But when we ask Jesus to come into the situation, it seems as if that which we have prayed for has been delayed. And I'm going to share another thing with you about delay. It's not denial this morning. Remember the Sunday when I first preached this, you've ordered something, you know, over the internet. And they send you that email. It's been confirmed. It's going to be here in 7 days. You get another email that says it's going to be here at 7 o'clock that night, no later. Oh, hallelujah. And it's something you know you just got to have. You can't live without it. And then you get another email about 12 o'clock that day that says, sorry, but it's been delayed. Now, you don't see the word delay. You see the word denied. Because denied and delay starts with a D. So in your mind, you are thinking, this has been denied. I'm not going to get what I desperately waited for. If your prayers have been delayed, I want you to know they've not been denied. Was it a Daniel that prayed and God heard him the first time he prayed? If our eyes could be open to the spiritual warfare that's going on in heaven right now, we would see why sometimes that our prayers don't immediately get manifested. There's some things going on behind the scenes, church, that you don't know about. There's some rearranging and things being done that you don't know about at the present moment. So delay is not denial. If you've ordered it and they say it's been delayed, it'll be there. I want to encourage you that it will be there. It will be there. Woo! So after 2 days, Jesus decided it was time to go. He says to those with him, let's go back to Judea. So then there was another uproar among the disciples. You can't go back there. The Jews is going to kill you. Why are you going to go back to the place where you were killed? And sometimes Jesus may take us back to a place that we don't understand at the moment. But he said, you know, there's some unfinished business there that you need to take care of. And you know, I can look at my own life as situation with somebody or some strife or something. If you will be faithful and wait for God's timing, he will cause that situation, he will cause that situation, that circumstance to come back to you, and you're going to be able to make amends. Anybody understand what I'm saying? So you need to wait when he says it's time to go back there. Don't hesitate. Amen. So Jesus replied to them, he who walks in daylight does not stumble because there is plenty of light from the sun. John 8:12 says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. This is the second of 7 I am declarations of Jesus, which points to him as being unique, divine identity and purpose. And declaring himself to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming that he is the source of light. And if we walk with him, walk within his word, we will not stumble in the dark. Because he will give us enough light just for the step that we're on. Amen. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is the light. So Jesus tells his disciples, our Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. How many times have we allowed things in our life to fall asleep? And we need Jesus to come. And said, that thing is dead. And it's time to resurrect it. You know, sometimes we need somebody to just come and step into our lives and say, you know, that dream you had is dead. What happened to it? It needs to be resurrected. So they thought he's fallen asleep. What are you going back there? Let him nap. Let him rest. That dream has rested long enough. Amen. Your hope has been delayed long enough. Amen. So he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let us go. With every circumstance in life, it has an opportunity for new grounds or capacity to expand our capacity to believe in a greater way. So Thomas said to the other disciples, come along, we might as well die with him. So many times that when Jesus says go, you're like, I don't know why, I don't know where, I don't know when. And I may die in the process, but if you say go, we'll go. At least if I die, I'll be dying trying to be obedient, even though I'm talking stupid. But if you say go, we'll go. And you know what? Jesus can look over your frustrations. He can look over your frustrations and your stupid talking sometimes, because he's God and we ain't none of us all been delivered yet. Amen. We're all a work in process. So when Jesus says to go with him, he was saying, listen, your miracle is not here. Your miracle is over there. And until you're willing to leave here and to go over there where your miracle's at, your miracle ain't never going to happen. So we have to be obedient when Jesus says, let's go. That's where the miracle is at. That's where the healing is at. That's where the deliverance is at. We've got to get over there for it to happen. Amen. So we in life, we need to be willing to move when we hear the Spirit saying, let's go. He said, let's go to where the resurrection is going to happen. You're given. You're going to be given new grounds for believing. Because, you know, you're going to see something that you've never seen before. Yeah, I've raised the people to dead, from dead. But this here guy's been dead 4 days. You just don't know it yet. But something big's about to happen. Amen. Something big is about to happen. So when Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. The Jews believed, and this is interesting when I was studying this, the Jews believed a person's spirit hovered over a dead body for 3 days, and that the person was not really dead until the fourth day. So now here it was, the fourth day, and the Jews knew then that he was dead. That he was like dead, dead. No point of resurrecting, no point of Jesus coming. Keep him in the grave. He's dead. 4 days, he's dead, dead. Hallelujah. Some things got to die, church. Hallelujah. No possibility of a resurrection. Way too late for any miracle to happen. And when we have asked Jesus to come, and we've prayed and things are delayed, and that which we have believed for seems to have died. But Jesus is about to swoop in with his deliverance to the like that they have never seen, and I'm believing the like that we have never seen. Amen. So one word can change the whole situation. Someone that's just willing to step into your situation to say the dream may have died, but the dreamer has not. You're the dreamer with the dream, and you're still, like I said, you're still here, and you're still believing and breathing. So that dream in you may have died, but the dreamer has not. Woo! Hallelujah. So someone stepping into your situation to say that to you. When the dreams have died, when hope seems lost, when the vision has become dim, when we dare not dream again or to hope again, we need someone to step into our lives and speak a life-giving word to us. And I hope that's what that word is doing to you today, or doing for you today, to tell us to believe again, to remind us to let faith arise again. You're going to the place to see the dream resurrected, to see the hope resurrected, to see the vision resurrected. Amen. So when Jesus finally got there, we understand that Lazarus had already been 4 days dead, like dead, dead. Amen. So many people were already there sympathizing and offering hopefully words of comfort to the brother who had died. And what about that dream you once had, the vision that hoped things would be better? You're believing for a miracle, a move of God in your life. And you've spoken it out there. This is what God spoke to me. This is the dream I've had. This is the vision I've had. So you begin to speak it out there into the atmosphere. And then there's life happens. And things are put on the shelf because life happens. Amen. And that which you once dreamed about, believed for, had gotten lost along the way. And all of it seems to have died. And we have those well-meaning, sympathizing people who are crying with us. And not trying to help us. And you know, maybe you were dreaming too big. Maybe you didn't hear God. Maybe that prophet wasn't speaking something from God. Maybe you misunderstood that word. Maybe you misunderstood that vision. Maybe it wasn't God. You know, we all miss it. Martha cries out in frustration, I believe, not because she didn't believe. But I believe she cries out in frustration because she went to Jesus knowing Jesus had loved her brother. And he didn't come immediately when she thought he should come. And that's when our frustration sets in. When we pray and he doesn't come when we think he ought to come, we get frustrated in the flesh. Amen. So we have to encourage ourselves to the Lord again. And she cries out, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Jesus, where have you been? Don't you see we're in the midnight hour? Don't you see it's dark? Don't you see this is happening? And this is closing around me. Where have you been? And he says, I've never left you nor forsake you. I will never, ever let you go. I've got my firm grip on you. Amen. And Jesus' response is, your brother will be raised again. And that's my word to you. Your dream, your word you got for your children or your grandchildren or whatever that may have gotten lost in the shuffle of life, he says it will be raised again. Amen. It will be raised again. And just like that, without any hesitation or reservation, no uncertain terms, Jesus spoke in faith and said Lazarus would be raised. He didn't say, well, if it's God's will. He didn't say, well, you just never know what God will do. He never did say, well, maybe I've missed it by coming. He didn't say God sometimes does and God sometimes don't. Whew. Sometimes they say you just accept the way things are. But Jesus was confident when he spoke because he knew what the word said. He knew what the word said. He had already received a revelation that this sickness would not end in death and that God would get the glory out of it. And that's what it's all about in the end, that God gets the glory. So that's what he believed. That's what he spoke. And then he acted upon that which he believed and that which he spoke. So I want to encourage you, when you pray for a situation, pray with confidence. When you pray for a situation, pray in faith. When you pray, pray without doubting. When you pray with expectation. And when you pray like it's already a done deal. And offer it to God with thanksgiving. Amen. And Martha said to Jesus, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was putting off her blessing to the someday. She said, at the resurrection of the last day, well, I know he's going to be raised up. Because right now he's like dead. Jesus replied to Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. And who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because when our breath leaves this body, we're just stepping off into glory. And we're going to live eternally. Amen. Jesus said, I am. I am in the Gospel of John, records 7 times. Old Testament, we read where Moses asked God to tell him who he said should send him on this assignment. He replied by saying, I am that I am. Meaning is God is right now what you need him to be. He doesn't have to be the God of tomorrow. He could be the God of your right now. So why put off believing for something that the I am says I can do right now? Amen. So Jesus identified himself with the God of the I am by saying, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he said, in other words, Jesus was saying, I can provide resurrection and life to Lazarus' situation right now. And that's what I want the word to leave with you. He's saying to you, I can provide resurrection and life to that dream again. To that hope again. Amen. To that failure that you think you failed. He said, I can provide resurrection and life. Jesus said to Martha, you don't have to wait for the end. The one who believes in me, even though she dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me does not ultimately die at all. Martha does not die at all. Martha finally begins to speak what she knows to be the truth. So she began to speak not out of frustration. But she said, yes, Master, all along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. So after we vent our frustration, after we have done all of that, don't feel guilty about it. But just say, okay, now let's get back to the center point here. And so Martha begins to say what was truly inside of her. She began to say, all along, God, all along, Jesus, I know that you're the Messiah. All along, I know that you were the Son of God. And I know that there is nothing impossible for you. I have believed this, and I continue to believe it now. You ask me, do you believe this? She was saying, I'll tell you, yes, I am a believer. So there is nothing too hard for God. He's willing, able to show up and to show out in your situation today. And thank God we don't have to operate
on delayed hope. Hope has been given to us. Hope has been given to us. So there is a right now hope because God is a right now God. Amen. So he's waiting on us for us to build up our capacity to believe that he can and will. And Jesus said, remove the stone. It was time. There are things that have to fall into place sometimes for the miracle to happen. We have faith. Our believing now has been broadened to believe. Capacity to believe has been broadened. And now was the time for the stone to be rolled away. Amen. Martha said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye and said, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The dreams you've had, the hope you've had, the things you were believing for may have died. It's easy to become indifferent. It's easy to become indifferent when what we have been believing for isn't happening or doesn't happen in our time frame. Doesn't happen when we think it should happen. And those things may become a stench to you. Have you ever had a dream or something you knew was going to happen and it did and it kind of made you mad? You became aggravated about it? And some people even become bitter about it and quit church and quit living for God because that dream has died and they begin to think it wasn't God or it just wasn't going to happen when they thought it was going to happen. So it became a stench in their life. Amen. Stench not only means a bad smell, but also means a bad effect, an unpleasant event or situation. And sometimes when our dreams have died and our visions have died and those things have died, it causes unpleasant circumstances to happen in our lives. And a lot of times it's just because we've become bitter and angry at something that we thought would happen that did not happen. Jesus could have dealt with this situation all on his own without asking for help. You know, he can do anything he wants to do without us asking him for anything because he's God. Amen. But the sisters would not have participated in their own breakthrough. God wants you to be a participator with him so you can be a demonstrator for his glory. Amen. He wants you to be a participator in your breakthrough so you can be a demonstrator of his glory in that situation. For a breakthrough to happen, we are required. We are required. We are required. Obedience. And we sometimes forget that part. Sometimes it's just a matter of willing to get up. Sometimes it's just a matter of showing up. As Pastor Chris said last Sunday, what he was saying, just being there, just showing up. You know, there's Sunday mornings that I don't want to come to church. There's Sunday mornings that I don't want to preach. And at those times, the power of God is stronger. Amen. So when you're home and you're aggravated and you don't want to show up, I encourage you to show up. Amen. And then you may just sit there and just say, God, well, I'm here. So what you going to do? I hope the Holy Ghost knocks us out of the seat when we have that attitude. So if I see some of y'all on the floor, I know what happened. You come to church with a bad attitude. Amen. So they knew they had looked at their brother's life, lifeless corpse. They'd seen it wrapped for burial. They knew the pain of death. But also they knew they need to exhibit their faith on their road to breakthrough. So when you see that dream or that hope or that vision, you can see the lifeless of it. It's like dead. He says, roll away the stone. And I believe Mary and Martha at that point thought something big is getting ready to go down here. Jesus has arrived and something big is about to happen. He's raised the dead before, but they just died. But this brother, he's been dead a long time. Amen. He's been dead a long time. I don't care how long your dream has been dead. Amen. There's still resurrection power in the Word of God for that situation. Because God specializes in man's impossibilities. So why would God need to do what you already can? Because he always requires faith from us. He always requires obedience from us. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, just like that, suddenly,
So breakthrough. Go ahead and take away the stone. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with, and his face was bound about with a napkin. When your dream has died and your vision has died and your hope has died, you are spiritually blinded. You cannot speak. But when that dream begins to come forth, it has a voice. Amen. Your eyes are being enlightened once again. You're beginning to see spiritually again. The first time you heard the word, the first time you got the dream, the first time you received revelation of the word, you're beginning to see it again. And when you begin to see it again, it begins to raise that hope in you. No, I didn't miss it. Life happened. Amen. I didn't miss it. I really did hear God. I know there's people standing around me saying, there's no way. But God said, yes, there is a way if you believe me. If I've said it, then you can count on it. I'll do it. But let me do it my way in my time. Your responsibility is to believe me and have faith. Walk in obedience. And when I say go from here to there, that your miracle's there, pack up and go. As Abraham did. He would have been the father of many nations if he'd stayed where he was at. The miracles God's wanting to do in your life may not happen if you stay where you're at. Amen. May not happen if you stay where you're at. That which has bound your dream from speaking has been loosed, so speak to it again. Your dream has a voice. It's been given that voice back today. Your hope, let your Lazarus come forth. See that dream unwrap for the glory of God. And then the scripture goes ahead and says, and that was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him. Your miracle is more than just for yourself. There will be a turnaround not only for you, but everybody that you come in contact with is going to see a difference in you. That was a turnaround. Turn around. They removed the stone. Jesus prayed and gave glory back to the Father. And he said, on account of the crowd standing here, I've spoken so they might believe that you sent me. So there's somebody here that could make a difference, they began to say. There's somebody here that can roll a stone away. Amen. I speak that to you today. There's somebody in your life. His name is Jesus. That can roll away every stone. Amen. Just like that, I said, the spirit of Lazarus rushed back into him, and the body that had been lifeless for 4 days was alive. Just like that, God can make it happen. Just like that, he can make it happen. But if it's been delayed, don't believe that it's been denied. Amen. Somehow, the resurrected Lazarus worked himself to a standing position. And when you begin to speak to that dream, to talk again, it'll raise up on its own. By the power of God, you don't have to make it happen. It'll come up and it'll live again and it'll breathe again. And it will become unwrapped. In other words, Lazarus was still covered with dead stuff. And Jesus made his second declaration. Loose him and let him go. Are you ready for us suddenly? Stand up this morning. We serve a God that cannot lie and he sure cannot fail. And no matter how dead your situation seems, if God spoke to you and told you that he would do something, then you must believe and remain in faith that he will. God is a God of his word. All he's asking for us to do is to believe, to show up, to stay in faith, in obedience to what he is saying and has said, and be an active participant in your breakthrough, to be a demonstrator of God's glory. Amen. Just lift your hands. Father, we thank you that you have came into our midst today. Ah, Lord, thank you for your presence that's been in this place today. I thank you that dreams are being revived again today. I call forth those dreams and visions that are within you that have died for whatever reason. I call them back off the shelf in Jesus' name. We'll call dust those things off, that they are living again, for there is hope. Hallelujah. Where there's been hopelessness, God is saying, I'm raising up hope in you that you're going to begin to see that which you have believed for. And once you begin to see it, it's just a matter of time before you're walking in it.
Hallelujah. I speak that over you today in the name of Jesus, that today is the day for your breakthrough. We don't have to have delayed hope, but hope is alive and well in you today. I speak that over you in Jesus' name. I speak the healing power of God from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The one with back pain in their lower back right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that pain and I declare you healed and whole from whatever's causing it. We rebuke it at the very root and say that it must die. Your back pain has been relieved right now in the name of Jesus. Ha, yes. Oh, shahai na namakate. Liba sai li noho soho dododoya. Oh, yada nindada namakasi shehesea. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The one with ringing in their ears, I declare healing over that in the name of Jesus. Whatever's causing the ringing, we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha. Sahataye kumbabasiya. Yes, Father God. The one that's dealing with the skin condition is it looks like a rash or something in that order. Whatever it may be, Jesus says, I'm healing you of that. I'm healing you of that. Yes, it's caused by anxiety. Yes. Yes, yes, in the name of Jesus. Whatever's causing you anxiety, we release that situation to God right now. He wants you to know that He is for you and not against you. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and breathe out and let God be your comfort. Let Him be your peace right now. And once that begins to happen, I see your body clearing up from the inside out. I see the manifestation of great healing taking place within you. And you're going to see it without you. Ha, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God, that by your stripes that we're healed, that we walk in health. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word today. Now I speak God's favor over you today, church, that you're not the head, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are blessed coming and that you are blessed going, that you are blessed so abundantly that you are a blessing to others. I speak wealth coming into your home. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Not just finances, but health on in every area of your life. It's just wealthy with the presence of God. I see a heaven is coming into your home as you welcome the Holy Spirit in your dwelling place. There is a heaviness of the Holy Spirit, Ihase, coming into your homes right now. There's been division and strife. I sense a heaviness of the Spirit of God coming in and breaking that spirit of strife. Oh, that spirit of offense that's been set up, broken in Jesus' name. Father, we welcome the heaviness of your Holy Spirit in our homes. In Jesus' name, that anyone who's enters can come and sit and just feel your peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I call you blessed in Jesus' name.